thank you to the three of you, Claire, Max and Elle, for joining us. Do you know, you're only the second band we've had on the podcast twice.
Oh, I only realised that today.
Yeah, so thank you very much for joining us. And last time we debated this before, it was just Elle we had on. There was a bit of confusion. So we're delighted to have the full team here. And we've now, Venny, got our own Heavy Matters five-a-side football team.
We have. Bagsy not in goal.
I'll be in goal. I like being in goal.
Okay, well done, Claire.
Great. So, I
know the album is not actually out until the 26th. So we were very early in actually reviewing it, but we like to be a bit ahead of the game, maybe too far ahead of the game. But we hope you enjoyed the review of it. We have been following you since the first album came out in 2020, I think it was, like just around COVID time. And that's when we actually sat down and chatted to you about it. We love that album, but I think you'll probably find from the review, this album is sort of next level for when I was listening to it. And, you know, I think it's best to get from one of you three or all three. What can fans expect from the new album compared to the last, coming from your perspective? And I'll leave it open to the floor.
Wow, what a question. Tropical beats, dance hall, I think I would agree with you guys in feeling that I prefer it. I think it feels like a very natural evolution of our sound. I think it feels more just us. You know, I often feel on the first album like your influences tend to be a little bit more obvious and a little bit more on your sleeve. Whereas by the time you get to a second album, you know a little bit more who you are as a band. And so you're just kind of, it feels a little bit more like we're just building on the groundwork that we've laid in the, on the first record. And I think it's more complex probably, you know, musically. The songs are certainly more difficult to play. There's more sections like to the songs. There's more crazy about turns, I think. I'm also tiptoeing around saying heavier and more melodic. But you know, I think there are heavier sections, but there are also lighter sections in there. So yeah, I think it's going to be familiar to people. I don't think it's like we've gone, you know, completely a million miles off, but it's definitely an evolution. I'd say we sound more sure of ourselves, and yeah, we're starting to kind of explore new territories as well. Yeah, I don't know what you guys would think about that.
I think that's all fair. I think on the first record, it was the first, you know, what you hear on the first record and the EP, chronologically, right from the first track of the EP to Dream Spiral, the last track on the album, those songs were written in kind of chronological order. So you hear the progression as a band even on that arc. So I think it's just taking picking up where that left off, and we're just continuing the kind of evolution of of Mountain Caller. We know each other better as musicians. I think that which helps with songwriting, but I think in general we've just evolving on all fronts, really.
I agree with all of this. I think that it's a more ambitious album, and I think more exciting to play, and just as a listener of it, I really like the musical journeys that we go on, and I like where we've taken the story on it. I think that you can very clearly hear a band that are a closer unit musically and otherwise. I think we've always been really great at reading each other, listening to each other, and live, that's just joyful and wonderful. But I think that this is the moment where you can actually hear that in a recording. I think it's got a lot of soul actually, and I think that we've pushed ourselves to have a sort of even greater dynamic range. And it's all sort of a lot more thoughtful. There's a lot of detail, a lot of meaningful detail. And I think we've got some sick riffs, and some really nice grooves. And it's beautiful and massive and really fun. Really fun, I think. I'm
I agree.
sure we should all probably we should do a better job of being like tough metal people, but
Nah.
we just really enjoy having fun together,
Five
playing
Finger Death
music
Punch
we
have got
like.
that covered. Like, we don't need to do it.
Just coming back to something you said there a minute ago, Claire, and it's something that we picked up on as well is the songwriting. And I don't want it to sound like a cliche question, but I think certainly you can notice the songs are a bit more expansive on this album, like you were saying, exploring more things. Do you think that's coming down to the fact of you've got the first album done, you're more confident in yourselves, and potentially that as musicians you've improved since then?
I think so. Yeah, I think so. I think we are more confident in what we're about. So yeah, like I say, it's just taking that first record and building on it and just trying to up the complexity, up the musicianship, up all the, as Elle mentioned, that the details, like really kind of get into like the meticulous detail of every little bit. And yeah, I think it was, a conscious effort to elevate and push on this record, but not but but it all felt quite organic and quite natural as well.
It always feels really natural, yeah. I it, we never when we're writing, we never quite know when a song's going to end until it just kind of feels right somehow. Like we never sort of pre-plan where we think we want a song to go in terms of its structure and in terms of its length or anything. It just generally ends up being when we're jamming. We'll go, that feels like it's done. That feels like it's a good place to end that song. So it is very organic. But I do think writing, writing was a little bit different for me and for all of us, I think, because it was during COVID, of course. I'd kind of learned to demo stuff on Ableton in a way that I wasn't able to do on the first record as well. So I know I was playing around a lot more with like huge reverby guitar sounds and just fiddling around with things a little bit more than I was on like writing the Truth Seeker. So I don't know if that has maybe something to do with the increased expansiveness of it as well, that kind of audiophilic quality to the writing of the songs.
I think we had more time to sit with our own ideas as well, didn't we? So because we weren't able to get into a room together and practice, and normally we'd come in with something like an idea and kick it around the room, we didn't really have much of an opportunity to do that because of COVID, because of lockdown. So we had what we've got a riff bank, and it was pretty chocker. By the time we were able to meet up and play together again. So I think a few of the ideas in there were perhaps a bit more formed, and we'd sat with them a little bit longer individually than perhaps we would have done on the first one. And I think that's probably a contributing factor too. Yeah, it was a different process on the second one.
Yeah, for sure.
But the magic
Well,
always in the room eventually when you take everything in and run it through the mountain cooler filter.
we a lot of the songs were kind of unfinished for me until they started, and still we started playing them together as things opened up more from the lockdowns. And I feel like it happened quite quickly. Like when we got back playing together, all the gaps were filled in quite quickly. Like the missing ingredient was that just live energy that we have together when we were writing. Yeah.
And sorry, Benny, I'm just going to ask one more question before I let you jump in. I told you I waffle a lot, but you're very humble and modest as a band, and like you're sort of, I want to know off this album, what's your favorite track in collectively or individually? You know,
it's difficult. It changes. Sorry, go on now.
I was going to say the same thing, mate. It changes. It changes all the time. Because they're all very, they belong together, but they're all very different. So some days I just think, oh, the batshit craziness of Hypergenesis and the what I refer to as the space cowboy finish at the end, where everything's building and building and building, and you've got those like bends in it and stuff. I just think that's the coolest thing ever. And other days I really enjoy listening to Dead Language because of the, I really like the James Bondy section. I talk a lot about how I love Claire's guitar work on that song, especially at the beginning, and the sort of polyrhythm section and the sort of thrashy build in the middle of it. And I love Daybreak. I love the kind of descending scale where we're all playing together and how that all begins. There are lots of brilliant moments from these guys as well, like all the way through. I quite often listen to the tracks and Max will do a little embellishment or a little fill and I'm just like, that's really good. And then Simo does a solo, or there's a really thick tone wall of guitar, and it's great. I listen to it and I feel very fortunate to be in this band. That was a really
very, very
big tangent.
Very nicely politician answer skirting round, but a lovely way to finish it out. Thank you.
I don't have a favourite then. I can't pick a child.
It really does change. I flip between sort of Daybreak and Hypergenesis and Hazelwoods, depending on my mood. I think we cover quite a lot of ground, like dynamically and in terms of feel and mood. So whatever, you know, I could be, you know, bouncing along and the archivist will catch me. I'll be like, oh yeah, I've met this one. But then, you know, something, I'll catch me in another mood and it'll be something else. So it really does change.
I think, yeah, for me, it could be any of them for sure. At the moment, I have a real soft spot for Into the Hazelwoods. Particularly because of that intro, like Simo kind of brought that intro a long time ago, I think, pretty much fully formed. The kind of the quiet, echoey guitar before the full band kicks in, and I don't feel like it's changed a note since it first came in, because for me it's like a minute or a minute and a half of just pretty perfect music as far as I'm concerned. Like I would not change a single thing about it, about the way it builds, about the way that, you know, about the solo over it. I think it's all just absolutely flawless. And then I think it's so cool the way it crashes in and just goes off into space, really. There's, yeah, so much going on in that song. You know, the middle sludgy bit I absolutely love. I love the very ending, just a little flurry of groovy goodness. Yeah, I think that one is my favorite at the moment.
That's a good one. Venny and I gushed over the Hazelwood because of that. The only way we could describe it was that sort of Rush style esque piece, which was just, it was just so good to hear and just like completely caught me off guard. And yeah, so Venny, over to you, mate.
Yeah, it's just to pick up on something Elle mentioned, and when you think of a lot of kind of post-rock and instrumental music, it can be quite serious and chin-strokery, but something you said or a word you said was fun. And so is that an important aspect for you, and not in a zany or quirky way, but throwing in these different influences and keeping it interesting and lively, is that an important aspect of the band for you?
For me, very much so. I mean, we, don't get me wrong, we take what we're doing very seriously, in so far as it's really important to us to make something that we think is good and meaningful, and ultimately this story that we're telling is a sci-fi fantasy feminist allegorical tale, and that part of it's really important to us. So there's a lot of care and a lot of attention to detail and all of that stuff. So we are very kind of serious about what we're doing, but certainly for me, the point of being the gift of being able to create music is fun and delight and nourishment for the soul. And that is really important. And I think that because the three of us are really good friends and a trio of, you know, silly goobers, we laugh together a lot. We spend a lot of band practice making each other laugh, playing stupid cliches and coming up with stupid ideas and inventing new genres and all sorts of dumb things. You can actually, when I listen to the album, one of the things that I enjoy is I remember the moments where we made little bits up and the conversations that we had, like that bit in the middle of Into the Hazel Woods, where we're in that gnarly, sludgy nastiness. And I was talking to the guys about this earlier even, and we had a placeholder drum fill to get into that section, which was just flats in Dagenham, as cliche as you can get, basically. And it made us laugh every time, and it stayed there for ages until we decided that we needed higher end apartments of some kind. We needed to go up the property ladder to something better and more expensive. And then it ended up with Max coming up with this amazing, which is basically how I speak drums to Max, by the way, when we're writing. Can you do this? Can you do? And he's like, yes, I can, and more. So remembering moments like that as you listen to it is a really lovely thing. So yeah, for me, fun is very important.
Yeah, I remember Phoebe Bridges saying in an interview once that if you're in the studio and you come up with an idea and it, or like, it makes you laugh, like kind of almost with joy, then the stuff that makes you laugh is the stuff to keep. That's the good shit. And I think that has often been the case for us when something's made us laugh, because of how kind of, you know, just joyous it is. You know, it kind of hits on something that we all love and recognize, perhaps. That's a marker that, like, this, you know, we should keep it in the song, because I love that about the band, that it isn't, you know, that we're not very serious, and, well, you know, like Elle says, we take it very seriously, but, you know, you go to metal shows and everything's very serious, and I kind of get quite a warm, happy feeling from our music, which, you know, which I don't get from a lot of heavier music. You know, I don't feel like that's what a lot of heavy music is going for a lot of the time, but it absolutely can be that way. Hard agree. I think that fun aspect is one of my favorite things about us, for sure.
Yeah. I don't think I'd want to be in a sort of navel gazing, proggy, chin strokey band. Yeah, I think for me, fun is very important. I'm a very unserious person in general.
I would say the WhatsApp group between you three is fairly there's a lot going on, is there?
It's fairly goofy, yeah.
Yeah.
What's the group called? Don't just be Mountain Caller. Come on.
We've got a few different groups because we need to speak en masse to our booking agent.
Oh, okay, right.
Previously, Paul Waller was managing us, and that group was called Mountain Paula, which we were very pleased with. So we're band only, so that we don't make a mistake and drop memes where they should not be dropped.
Yeah, yeah. Send a Golden Girls clip into the wrong group. Yeah.
Yeah. But there is also a little squirrel emoji in the name, and so it really it stands out. It's the only chat in my WhatsApp that's got an emoji in it.
I was really hoping for something a bit more than band only, but
I know it's disappointing. I have to
you have to think about that and change it for next time.
Yeah, I mean when you're dealing with goobers like us, that you've got to make absolutely sure that you're not going to share anything in the wrong group. You've got to make it really obvious. So we could
name it some of the misspellings or misnamings we've had on posters and promo over time.
Yeah, mountain climber.
Yeah,
mountain climber. No way.
Good yeah, one. Climber.
Mountain cellar, quite a departure.
Yes.
Yeah.
Sorry, cellar as in CELLA. Yeah. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, not as in selling the mountains, although that wouldn't surprise me either.
Yeah.
But yeah, they got the first letter right. There's been a few of those.
Yeah. Mountain climb is brilliant. That's super. I just purposely, misspell it when I'm putting this out on a tweet. I won't.
Please do. Yeah. any other fountain caller?
Go nuts.
Yeah, yeah, we get like people tweet in and say like, give us the other options which you call mountain caller. And now all I'm going to do is think about that for the rest of this interview. So
yeah.
you guys just talk amongst yourselves.
You do get a lot of puns in the group chat. We are suckers for a good pun.
Oh, yeah. We are, yeah.
Can you share? You can't just...
immediately spring to mind.
You can't have a context pun, really, can you? So,
well, yeah, I suppose.
Put them on the spot a bit.
What was the last GIF sent in your group?
That's a question.
It was the...
Simmer, it was you.
It was the Steve Buscemi.
Oh, yeah.
30
Rock. Yeah, yeah, there it is, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
How you doing, fellow kids?
Me blending in.
We also have the Half Moon Spectacles, which I'm not going to go into. I don't think we should give any context for that.
No context.
I imagine it's when... you're in the studio and someone's like looking down over them, like.
Yeah, those are the glasses that Joe Clayton wears when he's at the desk in the studio. So with the chain and everything. So yes.
Is there a out of the three of you? Is there a control freak when you're in the studio?
I'd say probably me. Right, I'm. Yeah, on the first album, I made like 6 pages of notes of just how each individual section should sound. I wouldn't
characterize it as control freak though. To me, you were really excited and really well prepared, and it was a really helpful thing. And yeah. I think that you've got a really extensive production vocabulary that certainly I lack. I just have to use regular words and wave my arms around, and Joe generally understands what I'm talking about. But yeah, it's really helpful, and you're just putting in maximum effort. I don't think it's controlling.
Good. I'm glad it comes off that way. I am very passionate about production, and I pay a lot of attention to it on records. And I love the way it can really... it can make or break a record, and it can make things, it can really make something shine. Just little things like on that fancy flats fill that you're talking about, into the Hazel Woods. It's I really wanted a high room sound on that, like just to make it sound extra kind of clattery. And also, like, there's a bit on the Archivist where after the quiet intro, when the heavy guitar first comes in, it starts off mono, and then the bass and the drums hit, and it goes boom, and then they go boom out into the sides of the headphones, is what I'm thinking. So little things like that, I think about a lot. And yeah, I'm very like always kind of sitting just over Joe's shoulder, just like, yeah, giving loads of little nudges and suggestions, being like, oh, can we tweak that? But yeah, I enjoy it. It does come from a place of passion, I think. Yeah.
Well,
I
we
think we're
touched on
just
the
as
mix and sorry, I'll go on.
I was just going to say, I think Simo and I do just as much being over Joe's shoulder and saying, what about this? What about this? Could you turn that up? Could you turn that down?
Yeah.
This reverb is not pessimistic enough, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
I'm an optimistic and a pessimistic reverb. but no, I think Max, you've got a I think drums are one of the hardest things to produce and mix well. So I think you rightfully spend a lot of time there and you do you do contribute an awful lot to the production side of things. But I think, when we're going through that like final mixing process, like the business end of the session, we're all sort of sat around with Joe getting it to the point where we're happy with it. So we're making sure that, given that we're looking at this section, is the right instrument in the foreground? Are we getting the dynamics of each part right? So yeah, it's towards the end, it's massively a team effort to get it to sound where we want it to be.
We
Yeah.
touched on the mix during it, during our review. And like for me, I was saying it's great that the bass is not buried. Because like in a lot of metal bands, the bass is barely audible at times. Most recent one being the latest Abath record. I don't know if you've heard that, but I was delighted to hear that the bass is audible and the sorry, I thought my child was coming in. And but every instrument really is, you can hear each one. The drums sound great, which Claire, you mentioned, is very hard to try and nail that down. But you can hear each instrument really well and in the mix. So I think the fact that you're there overseeing it all instead of sending it off and getting it back and forward, I suppose that makes a big difference for you guys in a non-controlling way.
I think because it's predominantly instrumental as well, you it's mixed differently. Like I was saying, you have different things take the center stage in different bits, and then the other sort of sit behind, and then that swaps around. So I think when it's instrumental music, it's and it's of a complex nature in the way ours is, you have to be. You'd have to just approach it a little differently, I think, especially given that there are only sort of three instruments as well. There's lots of space to play with.
But that brings it quite nicely onto the next question. And sorry, Benny, I'll let you speak after. But the other thing that jumped out on this record is the addition of vocals on one of the tracks. And you are predominantly an instrumental band, but at what point was it decided that, okay, let's put some vocals on here? Was it you finished the last record and said we want vocals on this record, or was it you're in the studio and thought, let's put some vocals on here? At what point was it decided?
It was just the very beginning of writing that song, to be honest. We hadn't particularly discussed it. I'd had this idea for the concept of the song that I wanted the protagonist to be needing to decipher some kind of dead language, and that I wanted to illustrate that musically, because I like to torture myself with really difficult musical challenges. And It was a really challenging song to write. Agonized over lots of things for a long time, and I actually found it really difficult not writing in the room with these guys. I think I sort of dismiss a lot of my own ideas much more easily when I'm by myself, seeking this sort of perfection that's not very helpful. So from the beginning of that, I think I sent you guys a message on WhatsApp saying, "Hey, this is this concept for a song I'm thinking about, and I think it makes sense that because of what's happening in it, that the protagonist has a voice again, and we get to hear her in a monologue as she's going through this process." And I think the guys were just like, "Yeah, sounds really cool. Let's just do that." Is it? I don't know if you guys remember it differently, but it wasn't sort of a decision we agonized over. It wasn't something we planned from the beginning of the album. It just made sense for the concept of the song and at that moment in her overall journey.
For me, it was the same on the Tree Seeker when you introduced the vocals in A Clamour of Limbs. I think you did just send a little clip on WhatsApp, and when I hear those things, I'm just like, I mean, they're just so good. I'm just like, how? Of course, we need this in the music, because the lyrics and the melody and your voice are just so brilliant. It's like, how are we going to say no to this idea? And yeah, it never feels like a hugely agonizing decision either way. We kind of try to balance the kind of care and attention that we pay to the music with being quite instinctual as well and doing what feels right for the music. And if that's vocals, then it should be vocals, I think is how we tend to think about it.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Clean
Yeah, I
up.
was waiting for you to add something then, Nicola.
Nothing to add. I agree with all that. It's a nice weapon to have in your arsenal. It gives us a different yeah, something different to wheel out, which is always a good thing.
Benny, I'll let you have the floor.
No, I mean, it wasn't really. It was just a follow-up comment on the production, really, in that you mentioned before about how much detail is in this record. And I think the production does a good job of kind of highlighting that detail. And yeah, it wasn't so much a question, just a comment, really.
Yeah, we really want that sweet spot between things sounding raw and not even necessarily raw, just but human, and preserving that energy and that spirit on the record, whilst also capturing all those details, capturing that kind of pristine element as well. We kind of want the best of both worlds in some ways. So yeah, I think I know my performances this time around on drums were much were kind of, I thought a lot less about keeping them to be perfectly on the click and perfectly in time. I tried to think about that less when recording and when actually playing the drums. I just tried to vibe basically and just enjoy it. And there are a couple of tracks where we were meant to do each section sort of section by section, but we just kind of kept rolling because the drum take was feeling great. And I think it's in those kinds of moments in the studio when you can kind of remember that it's not necessarily about capturing everything flawlessly. It's about the real it's about capturing the magic. Like Quincy Jones said, you've got to be like 85% ready when you go into the studio or something. You've got to have the music 85% ready because you've got to leave that 15%, which is the magic of the moment, basically. And I mean, yeah, I think Quincy Jones is probably a pretty good person to listen to in terms of production advice. Yeah.
Final question from me. I don't know if Fanny's got anything else, but we The two of us have not had the pleasure of seeing you live yet. So interested to know your touring plans now for 2024. Have you got a tour? Are you on any festival bills that we might catch you on?
There's a whole bunch of stuff that we haven't announced yet, but the things that are out in the wild are that we'll be playing Masters of the Riff in London, the lineup for which is absolutely storming. So get there if you can. We're going to be playing our first show in mainland Europe as Mountain Caller in, I won't pronounce it correctly, Esbjerg, in Denmark at
Okay.
Festival, which again looks absolutely amazing, and we can't wait for that. And then Norwich Rockfest is coming up as well, which is really cool because a surprising number of people from Norwich and surrounds have requested our presence in their fine town. So we're gonna oblige at that festival. So that's all stuff that's coming up in the next few months, and there'll be some more very cool bits and pieces soon. Tour stuff, can't talk about yet. Just
Any
planning stuff.
festival
Planning, planning.
announcements?
Oh,
So,
sorry.
any festival announcements?
Not beyond the festivals I've mentioned.
No. We did ArcTangent last year. So
What?
we opened up the main stage on the Thursday, was
Yeah.
it? Yeah, the same day as Elder and
Oh, we didn't get there till Friday, did we? Or late Thursday?
That's right. We got there a bit late on Thursday.
Oh, I thought we missed you then.
Well, we did.
Well, sorry, but on the day we were there, if you know what
Yeah,
I
right.
mean. Oh, no, we were on early. It was like 12:30, like half midday, something like that. But it was great. It was a packed tent, and we did all new stuff, which was really fun.
Cool. Did you stay around for the festival at all, or did you head off after?
Yeah, we were there
Yeah.
the whole time.
How were you?
Yeah, we
Yeah.
probably walked right past each other a bunch of times and didn't realize.
Probably. Yeah. Oh, I'm
Oh,
really
it's how
gutted
it
about
goes
that.
sometimes.
We'll have to keep an eye out for any tours over this way then, or we can come to London, which we said. Guys, thanks so much for your time. I know it's late enough at night, but we really appreciate the three of you coming on and giving up your time. And talking to little old us. Congratulations on the record. I mean, it's not even out yet, but we love it, and we hope to see you soon at some point this year. So thank you very much, guys, and best of luck for the rest of the year.
Thank you. Thanks for having us, and thanks again for your awesome review on your excellent podcast.
Thank you very much. Too kind, too kind.
It's been a
We'll
pleasure. Thanks,
see
guys.
you. See you soon, guys.
See you soon.
Cheers. Thanks.
See you soon.